Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have a lot of things that are going on, and of course the charge to Timothy there in verse 1 about preaching the word and all of that. I call your attention to verse 5. He says, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, because then he goes down to verse 10 and we find our text, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas hath forsaken me. He says, I need you, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. I need you here because somebody left their post. Somebody named Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Well, having loved this present world. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Demas hath forsaken me. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching this morning, and I thank you that it's a passage that is a challenge to all of us. Certainly as I look out and I see our folks gathered here today, I realize that it's no accident that we're here and that you have something for every one of us. So please challenge us, I pray, from thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. You think of all the infamous names in the Bible. I mean, we could get into history and come up with all kinds of names of those who have done wrong in that. But infamous names in the Bible, of course, one of the first ones I think about is Jezebel. We always think about Jezebel. We know that's a bad name. That's people that don't even know all that she did, they know, oh yeah, Jezebel, that's a bad name. Oh, we think of Judas. Judas always comes up as one of those names that that is a bad name. It is somebody who did it. We know he betrayed the Lord Jesus. Then for the Bible scholars, those that study a little more, maybe been in church longer, the name Haman will come up. Haman, of course, who wanted to see Mordecai killed in the time of Esther, and then another name, Doeg. How many of you know of Doeg in the Bible? All right, again, a name not a popular, not, but again, those that have studied their Bible, you know, I've actually, yeah, you're acting like a Doeg before, and because that name is infamous in a negative, obviously a negative way. Ananias and Sapphira, a couple who known for something that the truth of the matter is, they probably outgave everybody in this room. They gave half of what they had, and yet they lied to God. And of course, you know the story how God took them, Ananias and Sapphira. But a name, especially in the New Testament, that stands out. It seems when you come up with different names, it's the name Demas. And most of us would know those words, Demas hath forsaken me. It just stands out. We think of the Apostle Paul and how he's trying to serve God. He's trying to go on and take his stand for right. And obviously, this is a time of great persecution and difficulties, and Christians are dying. And Paul says, I really need you to come shortly. Come quick. Come shortly unto me, Timothy. I need you here. Why? Well, because Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning. Paul here, of course, is speaking to Timothy, and he gives him his charge in verses 1 to 4. And I mentioned verse 5, and I have it underlined in my Bible. He says, endure afflictions, because obviously when you serve God, there's going to be afflictions. There's going to be attacks. There's going to be, there's a devil that does not like you. There's a devil that's against you. There's a devil that hates the cause of Christ. You say, well, I want to serve God. Well, immediately you get a bullseye on you. Amen. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what you do in the service of the King, there's going to be an enemy out there that's going to attack you. And so he said immediately, you know, to Timothy, he said, endure afflictions. In verse 6, Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I mean, to the Apostle Paul, martyrdom was imminent. It wasn't something that he looked forward to. It wasn't something that he necessarily wanted, but his death, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be, I like the words he used, I'm ready to be offered. What he's saying is, he's saying, I already gave myself to God as a sacrifice. I already told God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. By the way, we never think about that nowadays, especially. We don't think about when we say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, that it might be die. Yes, sir. Right. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm talking about I'll go where he wants me to go. Yeah, except, and then we give our list of where we wouldn't go, right? But especially, we don't want to die. I mean, I don't want to die for the cause of Christ. I mean, that would be, wow. And yet Paul said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, listen, when you give your life to God, that may be where it leads. You may die for the cause of Christ. And folks, honestly, Christians are dying all over the world today for the cause of Christ. So, again, you know, Paul would become a prisoner. He would be put under house arrest. We know the story of all of that, and eventually he would be executed for the cause of Christ. All the disciples would suffer a great, great persecution for the cause of Christ. Paul said in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What's he say? He says, it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, I guarantee it is worth whatever happens to me, it's worth it. And then he says this, he just out of the blue, after he talks about the affliction, after he talks about how that he's ready to die if need be, he says, but Timothy, I need you to come shortly unto me. And then he says, for, that means here's why, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me. Now it's interesting because you've probably heard this preached many different ways, and I'm certainly not arguing with all the different ways it's been preached. I think anything is right in that. I mean, obviously Demas here is not being hailed as a hero for forsaking the Apostle Paul. Certainly, what he's done has made him infamous, along with Jezebel, Judas, Haman, and the rest. But I think sometimes we misunderstand the context of why Demas forsook Paul. I think we miss out on what it is because we always think, well, it says he loved the present, having loved this present world. Obviously, he was watching too much television. Obviously, he was going to the movies. Obviously, he was so involved in rock concerts. Obviously, he was smoking dope. Obviously, he was drinking beer. And that is not what this is saying. That's not what it's saying. You understand? Demas hath forsaken me. You know, we might think it's for all the backslidden Christians out, but in reality, it's for us. Why? Because he loved this present world. World here, and if you were in my Revelation class, you would know that the world that we talk about as our enemy is the word cosmos, which is a world system that hates God. The word cosmos, always when it comes up, in fact, 1 John 2, verse 15, when it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, that's the word cosmos. It is a world system against God. And by the way, it just makes sense. If I'm for God, why would I love anything that's against God? But that is not the word that is used here. In fact, the word that is used here, he says, having loved this present world, it's talking about his life. It's talking about he loved his life. And you see, that's the thing, because we many times want to pass, oh, Demas must have been a worldly man. I mean, this guy, he must have watched all the wrong things, went to the wrong places, hung with the wrong crowd. He must have done all these wicked things. No, that isn't what it says here. Now, he may have done all that. I don't know that he did, but that is not what the Bible is telling us here. It's simply saying Demas just, he loved his life. Well, you say, well, I love my life. But he loved his life more than he loved God. He loved his life. He loved his present life, his today life. He loved this present world. He loved what he had today. Well, what do you suppose he's thinking? Well, you know what he's thinking. He's thinking, hey, I know several people who've been killed for the cause of Christ. I know some folks that have gone to jail for the cause of Christ, including the Apostle Paul. He's thinking, you know, it's uncomfortable. Are you listening? It's uncomfortable to follow Jesus. He's not talking about, I want to watch things, go to places, hang around with, smoke dope. That's not what he's talking about. He's simply talking about what we deal with day in and day out as a Christian, as a Berean Baptist Church member. Hey, do you love your life so much that you love it more than you love him? He said, man, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want that being beat with a whip. That's overrated. Prison, that's not good. That's no fun. It's uncomfortable. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. we're seeing some stuff on the horizon that is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be, and the fact of the matter is, we're losing a whole lot of people today who love their present life. I mentioned Brother Chase. It's so fitting that Brother Chase sang this morning. Didn't know he was singing. But it's so fitting that he sang this morning because immediately I thought, here's a guy that did not love his present life. He was making lots and lots of money where he was before he came here. He was very successful, moving up in the business world and doing very, very well and serving God at the same time. But he got on his knees before God and said, God, my life is yours to control, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And if it means that I will take a huge pay cut, that I'll take a huge lifestyle change, then God, that's your will. And for the Chases, it became somewhat uncomfortable, and sometimes is uncomfortable. Demas said, I don't want that. You see, what stopped Demas? Well, the truth is, it wasn't worldliness. He just loved his life too much. We hear it all. It's just too uncomfortable. The bus route, it's cold. It's too uncomfortable. I got to get up early. I've got to go visit. It's just too uncomfortable. I want to remind you what it says in John chapter 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That doesn't mean he dies for him. That means he lives for him. He's saying, it's not my life. It's his. And whatever that means and wherever that takes me and however that ends up, then so be it. Demas said, I've heard all that preaching. I heard it in chapel. I heard it in church. I heard it in Sunday school. Demas is saying, I've heard all that stuff, and I love my present life too much. I love what I have. I love my peace and my not going to prison and my not being made fun of and my not being persecuted. And he said, I love that. And I love where I don't have to pray to get my food. I love where I don't have to pray to have my needs met. He said, I love having money in the bank, and I love having a guaranteed income and guaranteed retirement. And he said, I don't want to give that up. So what did he do? According to Paul, he took off. He took off right after Paul told Timothy all these things. He's saying, Timothy, I don't want you to take off. I don't want you to take off. Notice the 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Demas said, you know, I don't want to be in a foxhole. Demas said, I don't want somebody coming at me with a spear. Demas said, I don't want him to bring the handcuffs my way. He said, I want to be accepted by the crowd. I want everybody to be pleased with me. I want man to be happy with me. I want to be in Time Magazine as Man of the Year. I don't want to be in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Demas said, I want no part of that. And so Demas didn't want to be a martyr. And so the words, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, we know the reason now, but here's what I want you to get this morning, and that is this. What all did Demas forsake? I mean, the words obviously are intended for us to understand that he forsook the Apostle Paul, but that wasn't everything that was forsaken here. And I have four things I want to give you this morning, and I'll go quickly, and I hope it will speak to our hearts, because you have to understand, folks, it's not your life. I know today the philosophy, hey, it's my life. And I can do whatever I want to do. Well, but as a Christian, we're bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. And when I think about forsaking whatever it is God wants me to do, I have to realize there's a whole lot that is forsaken. Four things, and I'll be done. Number one is he forsook his mentor. He forsook his mentor. He's been trained under the Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You understand, when you're with the Apostle Paul, you knew his doctrine. You knew what he believed. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You knew all these things. I mean, Paul is telling Timothy, but I promise you, Paul had taught all this to Demas too. Hey, you know what I believe. You know my manner of life. You know how I live. You know what my purpose is, because it's what I eat, I drink, I breathe. I get up in the morning, I go to bed at night. You know I'm after souls to be saved. You've known my faith, how I've trusted God, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. You've also known my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He said, you knew about it, but out of all of them, God got me out of it. God took care of me. I often wonder, the saddest people in church always are the people, nothing's happened. It's like God hadn't done anything for me. I mean, I see people that are struggling, going through hard times, been through a storm, and the clouds are just now starting to fade away out of their storm of life, and they're praising the Lord. Why? Because something's happening, because God's doing something. Paul said, you saw what I've been through, but God always delivers me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what he said. And I promise you, he told Demas that too. Demas said, yeah, I want nothing to do with it. You know, it breaks my heart that we have so many young people today, they've only heard the negative things about serving God. And they say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want to be attacked. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to take my stand only to be mocked. Demas heard it all. He trained under the Apostle Paul. He'd heard it. And verse 14, exactly. Well, verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It is going to get worse. Deceiving and being deceived. But look what he says to Timothy. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Come on, think about that Sunday school teacher years ago that said, I'm just going to stand for the cause of Christ. Think about as a young person, you heard that and you said, I'm going to stand too. Amen. Think about as a young person, think about as a new convert, the first time you heard about standing for the King James Bible. Oh, everybody makes fun of that. You walk in the bookstores today, they don't even have them except in a back room somewhere. Yeah, but remember when you were assured. This is the Word of God. Remember when you knew that you were saved and nobody was going to question that. And you knew it. And there was no doubt about it. God was your Savior. Because somebody taught you. Somebody taught you. Demas knew. And he knew what it was to be saved and to be a child of the King. And he knew what it was for God to do great things in his life. But he came to a time in his life where he decided he didn't want to pay anymore. He didn't want to pay that price. It's uncomfortable. Bible colleges, I'm telling you, they will tell you over and over. Somebody will come ready to charge hell with a squirt gun or whatever they may have, and they're ready to do some great thing for God. And after maybe 6 months, I mean, they just fizzle out. Some people, they'll graduate from college ready to do great things for God, and then after just a short time, they fizzle out. I promise you, all around the colleges, all around Hammond, Indiana, there's people everywhere, all over the place. They were going to do a great thing all around. I promise you, all around Knoxville, Tennessee, all around in California where West Coast is, and all the Bible colleges, all around, there's groups of people there. They were going to do something great for God. And all of a sudden, you know what? If it means I got to drive junk, if it means I've got to live in that kind of a place, are you kidding me? If it means I have to go on deputation, come on. But you just remember those that taught you and preached that to you. They were your mentors. They were the ones that put that in your heart and your mind and helped to with the Holy Spirit of God to convince you that that's what God wants you to do, and He may want you to do with your life. Paul said, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me, verse 11. Huh? I mean, everybody else, well, Demas hath forsaken me. Look at Colossians 4, verse 14. Colossians 4 and verse 14. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible says Luke, there he is, the beloved physician, and Demas. Uh-oh. And Demas. There was a time he was there. There was a time he was with Paul. There was a time he was with Paul and Luke. Can you imagine? Boy, if I could just be with Luke. I'll tell you what, you had a Sunday school teacher. You had a youth director. You had a pastor. You had a mom and a dad. You had a grandpa and a grandma. You had people that influenced you. You had people that taught you. You had someone, a teacher in the Christian school. You had a person that led you to Christ and discipled you. Maybe you had a boss that taught you, somebody that showed you. You had somebody who was an influence in your life. And when you forsake Paul, you forsake them as well. You say, I don't care what they said then. I just don't feel like. Boy, that's a big thing today, isn't it? I just don't feel like putting up with all this. I don't feel like the trial. I don't feel like the persecution. I don't feel like whatever you may have to suffer. I want to remind you, dear friend, Jesus hung on a cross for us. I'll be honest with you, I'm the guy that doesn't feel like it either. I'm just as flesh as you are. Amen? And sometimes when I'm just not feeling like it, I think about our Lord Jesus. And they ripped His skin from His body and tore it to shreds, and He hung on a cross for me. And you know what? It makes it a whole lot easier to keep going when I think about that. But then I see that preacher back at Marion, Indiana. And he preached, and that vein stood out in his head. As he preached, you could almost check his pulse just watching him preach. And he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and God got a hold of my heart. And I think about those assistants in that church that helped me and put up with me and how rough I was as a new Christian. And I think about the mentors. And I think, you know what? I don't want to forsake anyone, especially Jesus, but I don't want to forsake my mentor. Real quick, the psalmist says, Psalm 38, verse 11. Psalm 38 and verse 11. Go back there if you would. A couple of verses in the Psalms. Psalm 38 and verse 11. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. How sad. How sad. That's prophecy of our Lord. Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's what we do to that Sunday school teacher. That's what you do to a mom and a dad. That's what you do to grandma and a grandpa. I think of all the young people that graduate from Christian school and now they're out living for the devil. And you know where it started with most of them? It didn't start with their music. It didn't start with their TV shows. It didn't start with all that junk. You know where it started? It started with, I don't want to pay the price. I just don't want to suffer. I've watched this person, that person, I've seen them and how they struggle and how they're driving junk cars and I just don't want that for myself. By the way, Christians, that's why you ought to be rejoicing and praising God and quit your griping and complaining all the time. I'll tell you what, everybody ought to know that's the greatest thing in the world to serve God. I get so frustrated if anybody on staff complains or gripes about anything. Why? It's a privilege. Amen. It is a privilege to serve God. In Psalm 55, verse 12, that was free, by the way. That I'm not going to charge you for that last statement. Psalm 55 and verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. How sad when we forsake our mentors. Those who trained us, taught us, led us to Christ, discipled us from the time we were little children or from the time we first got saved. And we... When you tell Paul, I'm leaving, I'm done, I want my own life, you might as well tell them the same thing. Back in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hey, how special are those people you're thinking about right now? Grandma? Grandpa, already been in heaven for years, but he had an influence. He told you to stand. He told you to keep going, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Oh yeah, when you forsake Paul, he forsook his mentor. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16, let me show you a couple things here. 1 Corinthians 4, 16. And I will move quicker. 1 Corinthians 4, 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, Paul said. Chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Philippians 3, verse 17. Philippians 3 and verse 17. Again, it's so easy to walk away. Philippians 3, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Chapter 4, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Somebody said, I was talking to somebody recently, said, you know, there's just not a whole lot of old timers standing anymore. And well, you know, the reason for that is a lot of the old timers have gone to heaven. But I want you to get their face in your mind, a John R. Rice and a Lee Robertson, and get their face in your mind and understand they were willing to pay a price, and it wasn't popularity they sought. It wasn't riches that they sought. It was just to please God, no matter what. And we say, well, I just don't feel like it. And you forsake your mentor. Follow, follow, follow. And when the price gets high, keep following. Because that's what happens. It becomes inconvenient. We get made fun of. Our peers don't understand why we still go where they run buses. That's old-fashioned. Our peers don't understand why we still have altar calls. Our peers don't understand. You people use a songbook? What is wrong with you? You people need to get modern. You need to, listen to me, take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. No matter what the price, no matter what it is, You know, hey, well, you know, you're putting all your money into that bus ministry. And there is nothing more effective to win souls to Jesus. It was then, it still is today. Who taught you? Who prayed for you? Who led you to Christ? Who discipled you? When you forsake Paul, you forsake your mentor. Demas forsook his mentor. Number two, he forsook his message. The message over and over and over. He heard the message. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. The Bible says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to it. Hang on to it. You ever wonder, as a new convert, I wonder, hey, this is all good. Why do I have to be told to hold on to it, man? I don't want to let go of it. And then after time, it's like, oh, that's old-fashioned. That doesn't make sense. That's not for today. You know, you hear people all the time. Back in our text in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14, the Bible says verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And then it goes on, says, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. And there's always an Alexander the coppersmith trying to get people away from the things of God. But if our message is the truth, it's never going to be popular in the world. It's never going to be popular with Alexander the coppersmith. Never. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if you preach against that evil, well, you're not going to be popular. But God said, hold fast. Hold on to those words because they're truth. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. The Bible says here, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he's faithful that promised. He said, without wavering. What happens? We let go. That's what happens. Hey, Demas, what happened to you? Well, I forgot about those words that I heard. And he used to probably stand and shout and amen and praise the Lord when the preaching was going on. I agree. That's right. Where are you, Demas? Well, it just wasn't comfortable. It didn't feel good anymore. It just wasn't pleasant. And yet Paul said to Timothy, continue thou. Continue thou. Keep going. Colossians 1, verse 23. Look at it. Colossians 1. I hope you're writing all these verses down. There's a whole lot of verses in the Bible about holding fast, holding on, keep going. Colossians 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Hold on. Hold on. Paul, keep going. Paul, you got to keep going. You got to hold on, Paul. Hey, Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, you got to hold on. You got to keep going. Verse 2 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy, these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Seems like the same. If we keep passing on the same thing, then by the time it's 10 generations down, it's the same thing. Wouldn't that make sense? It'll be the same thing. Well, I know it's not popular, but it'd still be the same thing. And by the way, if people were dying in this day, if they were dying in Timothy's day, and Paul still said, keep preaching the same thing, then it only stands to reason they're going to be dying in our day too, if somebody keeps preaching the same thing. But Demas said, well, I just don't want to pay that price. Demas hath forsaken me. That means Demas forsook his mentor. That means Demas forsook his message. I'm talking about a guy that would have sat and had his Bible open and thrilled at the Word of God. I'm talking about a guy that sat in preacher boy class and was fired up about the things of God. I'm talking about a guy that was excited about the mission field. He's traveling with Paul. And I'm talking about a guy that somewhere along the line, he went to a mission club of some kind or got with a group of people that were going to go out and win the whole world to Christ. And I'm talking about a guy that was excited about those things. But, oh, you mean I might go to jail? You mean I could suffer? You mean I might have to drive a piece of junk? You mean I might not have the nicest clothes? You mean I might only have one suit to be the reverend in? Yeah. Oh, I can get a job and do better than that. I'll tell you what, I'll just get a job and make lots of money and I'll send missionaries. But that's not what God told him to do. And I guarantee in a crowd this large, that's not what God told you to do either. He forsook his mentor. He forsook his message. Number three, he forsook his ministry. This breaks my heart. Look at Philemon. He forsook his ministry. One of the saddest thoughts. Have you ever thought about it? You know, well, what happens if we have to close down the bus ministry? What happens if we have to close down the shepherd's ministry? What happens if, you understand, the less amount of people that are involved, the more difficult it is to carry on those ministries. What happens if you know, everybody would say, oh, what a shame, they're no longer running buses. Do you understand? Many times I tell people, Berean Baptist Church, I was inviting a guy the other day. He said, now, where is your church? I said, over on Maumee Street. He said, no, I'm not sure. I said, remember, you know, the gray buses? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're the ones that run the buses. You understand, there was a day in Adrian, Michigan, that could have been five or six churches. You're the ones that run the buses. You understand, when Demas leaves, he not only forsakes his mentor, he forsakes his message, but he also forsook his ministry. Philemon, notice what verse 24 says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my what? Fellow laborers. My fellow laborers. I wonder when we forsake our ministry, how many go with us? Happens all the time. Obviously, it was important to Paul because he told Timothy, do thy diligence to come for Demas. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Bring him with you. John Mark, who himself had quit at one time. But he's back. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, we in the ministry, I'm going to tell you, we're always rejoicing when somebody comes back. Whew, oh my. I wonder though, how many ministries are forsaken because we love this present world? Well, you know, they people don't understand. So? Well, Pastor, you know, I mean, if you get that involved, you know, my parents thought I was a total nut. They say, well, they're pretty close. Well, maybe. They said, you are doing what at the church? Why don't you, you know, Sunday night? What do you mean Sunday night? Yeah, we go to church on Sunday night. Oh, come on. I mean, what do you mean you go to church? Yeah, we go to church on Sunday night. We don't, let me preach, all right? You go to church, yeah. What are you doing on Thursday? Well, we're going soul winning. What? Yeah, we're going out, we're knocking on doors, we're telling people about Jesus. Really? Yeah. Yeah, you have a what going on? It's a revival. It's every night this week. We can't come over because every night we're going to be, well, come on, isn't that a little, why don't you just go on Sunday mornings? And hence, we have the new birth of churches all over America that used to be like this church that just do that, you know, a little Sunday morning get-together thing. And no serving God, nothing going on, no outreach, no soul winning, no bus, no trying to get people saved, because that's not very popular either. And the truth of the matter is, have you ever wondered how many ministries are forsaken because we love this present world? Well, it's my life. Uh-huh. It's my fun. It's my feelings. It's my friends. It's mine. And so Sunday school classes suffer, bus ministry suffer, shepherd's ministry suffer, soul winning suffers. he forsook his ministry. What all happened? We all talk about Jonah. And Jonah, what an example of a guy that forsook because, you know, he just didn't want anything to do with it. And we all talk about Jonah and we say, well, but praise God, he went back. But how many died while he was gone that he would have reached? When the whole city gets right with God, you have to believe that had he gone in the beginning, everybody would have got right with God then. Right? Seems that way. Colossians 4:17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou what? Fulfill it. Do the job that God told you to do. But Demas said, you know what? He said, I'm watching people die. I'm watching people go to jail. I'm watching people suffer. I'm seeing them drive junk chariots. I'm seeing them, not have the nicest clothes. I'm seeing them not have all the things. I'm seeing them have to pray down food from heaven. What a terrible thought to have to pray down food from heaven. I'm seeing them have to pray for their needs to be met. I'm seeing them struggle. And sad to say, he saw some folks that griped and whined and complained that should have been just praising God. Amen. Amen. But he saw some that not bad people, they just griped too much and complained too much in the ministry. And he forsook his ministry. And what was it? Was it a whole group of bus kids? Was it a Sunday school class? Was it his shepherd's ministry? I don't know. He forsook his mentor. He forsook his message. He forsook his ministry. And then last, and probably the saddest thing in the world, is he forsook his master. I don't know of anything sadder to me than to forsake my Lord Jesus Christ. And I know, we all blow it. I understand that. But Matthew 26, we read it and we just can't hardly believe it. Matthew 26 and verse 47, I mean, we know that Peter said, I'll go with you, Lord. I'll stay with you. And everybody, you know, we'll stay with you. We're the ones. We're with you 100%. And I remember when we went to Bern, Indiana, we had a group of people that they were Mennonite people. And they whenever they went out of town, they visited Baptist churches, always independent fundamental Baptist churches. But they're in town. They came and they told me, a couple of men, they said, you know what? We're behind you 100%. And I said, that's the problem. You're way behind me. You're way behind me. You're not with, hey, if you were with me, bless God, you'd be in this church. You'd be going the direction we're going, other than when you go out of town. Anyway, it's just, I thought I'd throw that in. Matthew 26, verse 47. The Bible says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. Boy, you talk about betrayal? How sad that is. Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck a servant of the high priest, smote off his ear. There's a guy that'll stand with him. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Now watch the last sentence. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Every one of them. Isn't that something? They that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off. And you know the story. You say, man, I just can't believe they would forsake Jesus. They saw the soldiers. They saw the swords. They saw Jesus put a guy's ear back on after Peter cut. You know, this isn't the battle we're fighting. We can't just get out our shotguns and start blowing people away. No. It's not the battle. You mean we can't? We can't. I mean, seriously, they could come at us like and put us in jail. And yeah. Wow, we're out of here. Do you understand? There was no difference between Judas and Peter and the disciples at that point. No difference, and no difference between them and Demas. Demas just said, "You know, it's uncomfortable. You know, when I go to church, my family all they make fun of me." They laugh at me because I go to that church. My Bible says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service. I close with Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 24, the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." There's our problem. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, or buried in snow, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, he says it again, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need. You suppose he does? Knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Yeah, but preacher, they're talking about some of these Muslims are coming into our world. Coming in. They own half of Detroit. Yeah, well, that could be serious. You know, I may find something a little bit more quiet where I can just sort of hide out. Yeah, you're thinking too hard about tomorrow instead of saying, what can I do for Jesus today? Yeah, but what if I go soul winning and it's, you know, some Muslims and they put me on the list? Then so be it. I guess we're on a list. Do you not think you're on a list already? Hello? I think you are. But here's the thing. Demas forsook Paul. He forsook his mentor, and I should say all his mentors. He forsook his message. He forsook his ministry. But ultimately, he forsook his master. And I don't care how you put it. Don't care how it sounds. We can make it look cute and pretty and say, well, they, that one, they, over here, that show, this guy, that person. But the truth of the matter is, what's God want you to do that you're not doing? What is it God wants you to do? Where does he want you to be? What's he want you to do? What's he want you to give? What is it that you, it's just uncomfortable. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Quit worrying about what everybody thinks. Quit worrying about what all the magazines say you're supposed to have and supposed to do and all that, and just do whatever God wants you to do. Let's bow our heads, please.